Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
What if your time on the planet was ended today? If you had one thing to tell others, tell me what would you say? Would you laugh, would you cry when you watched the review of your life? Did you lay it all out on the table or hold it inside? Did you dot every T? Did you cross every I? Did you live every day of your life? Would you think you were ever? Would you think you arrived when you thought about the way that you felt when love touched your heart for the first time? Would you want to do over with a little more stuff? Or would another 5 minutes to tell her you love her be more than enough? More than enough. Hey, more than enough. If you knew that goodbye was a heartbeat away, would you still never speak to a lover for making mistakes? Would you hate anybody who didn't agree? Or would you love everyone that you see? Would you think you were well? Would you think you were right when you thought about the way that you felt when love touched your heart for the first time? Would you want with a little more stuff? Or would another 5 minutes of holding him closer be more than enough? More than enough. Hey, more than enough. Oh. When you're in the day, life is full of circumstance. Very little happenstance till you look behind and find in each and every line love was on time. Hey, hey, hey. So many people sleepwalk through the day after day. Woke up mid-stride thinking, how did this happen to me? I opened my heart and wiped the sleep from my eyes. Started laughing so hard that I cried. Cause I found I was wealthy, and I found I'd arrived. When I thought about the way that I felt when love touched my heart for the first time, I didn't need a do-over with a little more stuff. Cause I found that each time I could tell them I loved them was more than enough.
Troy Horn, more than enough. Yes, you are. Yes, you is. Yes, you be more than enough. To find out more about Troy Horn, website address is Troy Horn, Troy, HORNE.com. You can also find him on iTunes. Good evening. Good night. Good morning, good afternoon, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired, and you make a difference. Especially when you change with the change. Mighty difference when you change with the change. You grow with the flow and go with the flow. And when you grow with the flow and go with the flow, you will get to experience abundance in a whole new way. If you're resisting, you're resisting love. There's more than that. You are listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson on lifeconversationsradio.com. I am Ade Anifowoshe, also known as Life Coach Ade, also known as the Shift Starer, Soul Whisperer, the Metaphysical Rebel. You call me what you will. I know whatever you call me is an expression of your consciousness. And because we are one, I know you love me. It's time to go deep. It's time to experience life in a whole new way, to understand abundance, to embody abundance. And Reverend D is standing by. We call her Rev D. I'm mixing all up now. Reverend D, Rev D, Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. I just can't wait to I'm holding on to have my consciousness power washed by the words of Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson on abundance. We are taking your calls. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Call in, press 1 on your keypad. Feel free to share the show with listen with your friends, your family members, on Facebook, on Twitter. Text it, scream it. I don't care how you just get the word out. Share the abundance. It is Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's April 7th, 2015, and we are ready to grow and expand. I welcome you, Mariana. Thank you for being here. Lulu, thank you for being here. Silent listeners, disguised as guests, those of you we can't see right now, we still see you because we see you with insight. We know you're there. And those of you listening online, thank you. Gladys, nice to see you, my sister. I hope you're doing your assignment. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad. Share your story. Maybe you're feeling stuck. Maybe you just need to bounce a thought, an idea of abundance. Maybe you're somewhere where you're stuck with spiritual truth. Maybe you might even think it's off topic. Rev D is always available to answer your question and whatever you're dealing with. So now, without further ado, let's bring on our sister, our friend, ourselves, Rev D. How are you doing, Rev D?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thank you. How are you?
Woo! I'm holding on. I want to hear what you got to say about abundance. And I'm grateful, too, while I'm at it.
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge that it's the beginning of April. It's when we are taping this now in 2015, and we just had Easter. celebration day before yesterday, and day before that was the beginning of Passover, and we had a wonderful time at my church doing a combination Seder Passover feast and a Good Friday service, all wrapped up in one, which was really quite a unique experience, and very, very pleased to be able to do that. I just rolled in. After church, I drove down to Los Angeles, and I've been home about 10 minutes. So I'm glad that I just made it in time to be able to do the show. It's about a six and a half hour drive from L.A., which I just did solo. But I'm good. I'm good. You know, definitely. You know, it's the springtime. It's the time of renewal. The spring equinox was just a couple of weeks or so ago, and we're noticing things coming into full bloom. Abundance. You'll hear me say all the time a couple of things. One, that anything we really want to know about life and the process of living, we can find by looking out in nature. Nature is our best teacher. Secondly, that what we're looking for, we're looking with. Most of us tend to objectify the spiritual qualities, and we're busy chasing after them. And abundance is one of those ones where we tend to do that in the most, where we don't perceive ourselves as being abundant. There's us, and then there's abundance out there. And how can I, by whatever, prayer, laws of attraction, affirmations, wuju, whatever, how can I bring this abundance to me? And our whole show is about learning how to manifest from the inside out, that giving our full consent to abundance. That may sound like a very strange thing to say, but give our full consent to it. When we look at nature, we see that everything multiplies. Just let that sink in for a moment. Everything multiplies. Everything is always creating after its own self. And this multiplication is limitless, absolutely limitless. Our cells are continuously reproducing themselves. The orbits and the cycles, the seasons, they are continuously reproducing themselves. As my mentor Beckwith says, never has there been a cosmic famine. The scarcity mentality that we get into, the sense of lack and limitation, it just doesn't bear out, really, in the world of nature. And this time of the year is a perfect reminder to us of that, that not only is it an abundant universe, but we are abundant. That abundance is who we are by our very nature. Just breathe that in for a moment. How different would your life be if you didn't feel like abundance was something that you weren't? Or didn't feel like your abundance was outside of you that you had to chase after and find? How different would your life be if you really believed that you were abundant? Sometimes I'll make the point that for many of us, it's easier for us to see things in the negative than it is for us to see it in the positive. And I'm not even going to all the reasons why that's so. But I find when people are really questioning whether what I am saying is true or not, they have no problems proving its truth when they think of it in the negative. So we're going to go there for a second. When we start getting in to doom and gloom, there is an abundance of doom and gloom. When we get into the pity party, when we get into wallowing, when we get into any of that, there is an abundance of it. And is that not what makes us so miserable? If we ever thought that the lack of limitation actually had a limitation, maybe we wouldn't be so concerned. But somewhere in our hearts, we know that whatever sense of limitation that we have, that it is endless. That it doesn't seem like there's a bottom to it. It can just keep going on, that no matter how bad things are, we in our minds think that it could, in fact, get worse and worse and worse. There's no limit in our mind, like in Murphy's Law, to just how out there or bad that we think the things could possibly get. Well, if we can believe that about how bad things can be, why can't we believe that about how good things are? Why can't we believe that there are endless possibilities? Why can't we believe that just as there's no limit to limitation, what if there was no limit to the goodness, to just how great and grand and glorious it could be? Just what if that? Now, it's hard for some of us to even imagine that. Yet we don't have any problem imagining the opposite. We don't have any problems imagining, what would it be like if things went really south economically, if the relationships failed, if this bad thing happened, if the cancer got worse, or I lost my house. We're just all down the track about that. We can paint all kind of pictures and everything else. But do we do the same about the wonderful stuff? Do we get on the phone and say to each other, girl, can you imagine what it's going to be like when I get on the other side of this illness? Can you just imagine the goodness that's going to happen when my kids really find themselves? Can you imagine what is going to happen here when the floodgates of my good just start flowing in? Can you even begin to imagine that? Why do I start here and why is it important? Because we see what we believe. We don't actually see what's there. We see what we believe. Hence the infamous, do you see the glass is half empty or half full? Just a matter of perception. And in my spirit letters, what it always says is that construct of the glass half empty or half full isn't even a useful construct. Because it has our attention looking at what isn't even there when we're stuck on the glasses is half empty. I love what it says, just focused on the water. Just focus on the water.
because the water is the fullness of whatever it is, no matter what. I give this example sometimes. If you have 3 ounces of water in a 3 ounce glass, you say the glass is totally full. 3 ounces of water in a 2 ounce glass, oh, my cup is overflowing. 3 ounces of water in a 3 gallon container, I don't have anything. There's nothing there. Same amount of water. Same amount of water. Okay? But because of the container that it's in, that's giving us the idea of it being a lot or a little. A lot or little is what we name it. Everything just is what it is. And that's what happens with us with abundance, is we're not really seeing what's there. We're seeing what it is within the context of that container. So let's say, for example, I have a body that's riddled with some kind of disease. Well, I won't even sometimes see the health that's in me because I am fixated my attention on what looks like it's the illness, but that life force, that life energy, my aliveness is still there. It hasn't gone anywhere, but it's just not what I'm looking at. We never heal. We don't grow. We don't transform until we start to acknowledge, appreciate, give some thanks for what's already there. And it is our acknowledgement. It is our blessing. It is our gratitude that actually activates more of the multiplication. Okay? Our attention helps things to multiply. That's good news, that's bad news. You know, where is our attention? We're getting an abundance of a lot of stuff that we don't even want because we're declaring it to be abundant. Catch what I'm saying here. Our word has power. And whatever it is that we say we have a lot of, the universe says, and so be it. So when you say, boy, I got a lot of drama going on right now, or boy, there's a lot of confusion up in here, or, you know, boy, there's a lot of whatever, stuck energy, I'm over the top, up to my head in debt. Universe is like, yes, yes, yes. And it doesn't know, because the universe is just this generating machine. It's just like the plant. It's just making more and more and more and more and more. And our attention is a demand. Our word is an order. It is an order. We have to be very, very careful because we are the abundance. It's us. It is our consciousness. It is our nature. Whatever it is we give our attention to, whatever it is that we affirm or declare to be true, whether or not it's a lie, doesn't matter. Our sheer affirmation produces more of it. Once again, we know this is a negative. We know this. So why is it any less true in the positive? If you have a child, for example, and you're always telling this child, oh, you're never going to mount to nothing. Oh, boy, you're so stupid. Get in here, you fool. Okay. You know that if you keep saying those kinds of things to the child, then the child is going to keep doing more and more of the behaviors that confirm that. We already know that. You want to say to somebody, don't say that. Don't talk to that boy like that. You don't even want to set that up in his mind, because that will be the pattern that he will start multiplying after. Similarly, we know it's true. We know that if you give a kid attention, positive attention, if you give a kid positive affirmation, you give a kid opportunity, you give them access, you give them support, let them know how good they are, how great your expectancy is for them, not particular expectations, but just your belief and their capabilities and what it is that they can do. You know those children are going to be more abundant than that. They're going to start reproducing more of that. So here's our challenge. Here's our challenge. Most of us want to wait till we see the manifestation of something before we start claiming that it's abundant. But it's the other way around. It is 180 degrees the other way around. When we declare that it's there or that we have a lot of it, that's when we start to see it. That's when it starts to multiply more. Listen to what I'm saying. It isn't necessarily that things aren't multiplying or that they aren't there. It's what do they look like? How is it multiplying? Something's always multiplying. Always. Every thought, every vibration, every frequency from you has a physical corollary. There's some kind of way in which that is going to demonstrate in the material world. And the first place that it demonstrates is in you. Listen to what I'm saying. Every thought produces a chemical response in you, in your body, in your brain. The first place that your energy, attention, word, the first place that it manifests is in you. That's really something to think about, isn't it? We're worried about this thing and worrying about that. Nothing's happening and nothing's happening. I don't see anything happening. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing and nothing's happening. Nothing. Oh, something's happening. Oh, your worry is abundant. Your worry is making something happen. Something's happening in you. Something's happening in you. There is always more. There is always abundance. We say, we may think that something dies, for example, the leaf falls off the tree and falls on the ground. That's not the end of the story. It hardens, it changes, it decomposes, goes back into the ground, completes a whole nother cycle, becomes part of the abundance of the regeneration of the earth. There's no shortage of anything, even something that we might consider to be gross. You leave some food in the refrigerator, you know, you forget about it or whatnot, and you open it up and, you know, you think, oh, God, like that died. Uh-uh. It's not dead. Well, there's something real live in there. Now, you may not want to eat it, but it's abundant. Whatever it is abundant. You know, water, stagnant water, we may think, oh, well, there's no flow, it's just stuck, and nope. There's a lot of abundance in stagnant water. There's a lot of stuff growing and happening in there. There's always abundance. Always. We just get to choose what kind. Isn't that something? It isn't abundance. No abundance. We just get to choose what kind of abundance? Is this going to be positive abundance? Is this going to be the kind of abundance that I'm going to really perceive as a blessing? Am I willing to look around and see the abundance that's all around me that I was missing with all of my naysaying before? You know, it's an abundant universe. And when we come back after this break, you know, I will talk about an exercise that would really help all of us to see more of the abundance that's all around us. Now we'll go to break.
You're listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. Rev D, you said, we don't see what is there. We see what we believe. That's one that is marinating in my consciousness. Thank you for that. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press one on your keypad. Now, I need to tell you this. Living in the Yes is going to, for some time now, we have a new time. Instead of 9 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, it's now moving to 9 to 10. So instead of it being an hour and a half, it's going to be an hour. Now, speaking of abundance, I'm going to flip it on you listeners. We plan to end the show at 10, but if you have questions and we have a lot of people calling in, then we'll go to 10:30 p.m. Eastern, that is. But if you're full up, like we say in England, if you're full up by the time we get to 10 o'clock hour, we'll wrap it up and just keep it moving. We're taking your questions. You can post it in the chat room. And if you have any questions, do it now. In the chat room, you can post it on the, what is it? Take your time. Here we go. Life Conversations Radio like page. I needed to download it. Life Conversations Radio like page. You can post it on my Facebook wall or the invitation page. And we're just simply calling because it's a lot better when you're calling. We are going to take a break. We'll be right back. 347-426-3346 and press one on your keypad.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Light Conversations Radio.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mbasa Sophira, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Yeah. This is Life Coach Ade, host of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Well, you know, no matter how much you grow in consciousness, no matter how much you know, you are going to interact with other people. So what's the point of being spiritual and being enlightened without learning to get along with others? Well, that's what the show is about. On the show, I share tools and techniques and just inspire you to celebrate your relationships, to celebrate who you are, because together we make a difference. You know, we need each other. And when we unite together, we can make magic happen. We can shift our perception and create miracles in our lives. Join me every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversation.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson on Life Conversations Radio, lifeconversationsradio.com. Today we are talking about abundance. What are you focused on? That is the question. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. As I said before the break, Living in the Yes, it's now going to be an hour from next week. But Rev D and I agreed that if, you know, if there's people calling and have some more questions, we'll go to one, not one. What am I thinking about? I don't know what I'm thinking about. Well, an hour and a half. I guess that's what I was thinking about. But anyway, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Other than that, we will release the show in about 23 minutes. So if you have any questions, the number is 347-426-3346. Feel free to...
Or slower, my brother.
slow that number down. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Taking a breath. Rev D. I got a question for you, and this question has been circling around my mind, my brain, my consciousness for the past maybe 3 weeks, and I want to tie it into abundance. I don't know if it was a listener or maybe I asked you a question, but it was something around the concept of we create our reality. And when you started to respond to it, we didn't have time to go deeper because you had my head just spinning. And you used the example of, you said something about we need to be careful when we're talking about we create our own reality, because it won't be fair to say to Africans who were enslaved that they create their reality and that's why they were enslaved. And for the last 3 weeks or so, it's that conversation has just been in my head. And I want to maybe talk a little bit more about that and how, what does that look like with abundance or just the spiritual truth in our lives, how, what we create, what we experience?
Well, first off, what I probably said was that we create our experience. That we confuse the circumstances and the conditions with our experience. Okay? Our experience is the narrative. Our experience is the interpretation. It's how we named what happened, not just what happened. Now, it is true that everything that happens is a matter of consciousness. But that doesn't mean that it's just your individual consciousness. It's consciousness. If my daughter gets struck down by a drunk driver, okay, it may not necessarily be my daughter's individual consciousness as to why she got struck down by a drunk driver, but the fact that there was a drunk driver on the street is a question of consciousness. That's somebody's consciousness, okay? And we're in this soup, so to speak, or this spiritual gumbo where we're all interplaying and bouncing off of each other. We're all having these impacts, you know, on each other all the time in ways that we don't even understand. But when we align, when there's more people who stand in agreement on something and are holding the same view and the same perspective, the same energy field, so to speak, then that magnifies and that intensifies that particular thing in terms of bringing it into manifestation. Now, when you say, how does this relate, like abundance and slavery, that, and I'm assuming you were talking about here in the United States, because there's slavery all over the place, and slavery's still going on, that the people who were enslaved still saw themselves as abundant. They saw themselves still as having an abundance of spirit, an abundance of smart, an abundance of creativity. And they demonstrated how there can be no cosmic lack. You take away all my drums, I will turn my body into a drum. You take away all my instruments, I will recreate the instruments with my voice. I will make a delicatessen. I will make a delicacy out of pig's intestines. You know, creativity is going to abound. The survival techniques, the mechanisms, the development of the Underground Railroad, just the spirituals alone that were created and all the double entendres that they had in them and communicating, you know, wading in the water. You know, the old master thinks they're singing about, you know, some biblical thing. Well, they are, you know, but they're also talking about the waters being stirred because people are coming through and getting up out of here on the Underground Railroad. I mean, just incredible subversive kinds of ways of being, and it's the abundance of spirit and connection and whatnot that was the reason why they survived. Now, we want to get technical, though, in terms of, you know, consciousness and what creates and all the rest of that. The fact of the matter is that there were an awful lot of people involved in the transatlantic slave trade, including Africans, including Black Africans. There was a whole lot of collective consciousness that was getting this here. This wasn't just one person. You know, foreign countries couldn't just go in there and do that. And I never will forget, it was a number of years ago, I don't know, it could have been 15 by now, the then president of Ghana doing a public apology to African Americans. I don't know if you remember that or not. It just brought tears to my eyes. And they're saying they had no idea how slavery was not uncommon in Africa, still not uncommon, but how it had been their tradition that after 7 years, more like indentured servitude, after 7 years, you were to marry into the family. But they just had no idea, like, what was happening to folks, you know, in the United States. But apologized for their role in selling their brothers and sisters. But there's always an abundance. Always. In the whole U.S. economy, was built on the backs of the ingenuity of these workers. Breathe.
Take a breath. Okay, so we have a caller, okay. And you said you were going to talk about a technique. So let's take the call first.
Okay.
And let's go to Gladys in New Jersey. Hello, Gladys. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
All right, Gladys.
I'm good.
Reverend Johnson, how are you this evening?
Doing fine. So good to hear you.
Good. My question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that abundance is a mindset. But when you're arguing over food, what am I supposed to think? So we have a lot of arguments in my house over food because we have lack. So I'm thinking abundance. Oh, and by the way, today we're arguing over ice cream, but we have 4 quarts of it. I can't eat any because I didn't buy it. Where should I put my thought process?
This could be anything.
I beg your pardon?
I said, right now, it's your house.
No, it's actually somebody else's house, but it's in the house where I live.
Okay, but right now, the issue is food, okay?
Yes.
And it's lack. What I'm going to say is going to be true for any issue. Even when people have technically a lot of money, they can still be arguing, still arguing about whatever it is. Maybe it's not food that they're arguing about, but it's some investment that they're arguing about, or some expenditure, you know, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But the important thing is to give thanks. It's whatever it is that you have, to bless it. It's the loaves and fishes mentality that people who don't have a lot, and it's been demonstrated scientifically.
Mm-hmm.
If you bless the food, mm-hmm, before you eat it,
mm-hmm,
your body even receives it differently.
Okay.
If you bless the food, I mean, if you get out of the energy of the lack.
But I can't get out of the energy of the lack alone.
No.
Because I share my life with another person.
Yeah.
So even if I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to draw abundance to me and everything is fine and I take a little and work with it, it becomes a different story depending on who goes to the grocery store last.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is that is that your experience, that you have to be willing to stand someplace where you don't waver based upon what everybody else is doing. And here's going to be a hard thing that I'm going to say.
Uh-huh.
And that includes not judging them for where they are.
Okay.
Okay.
So perhaps because what I do is understand that I have abundance and that maybe the other person thinks that they don't, and that I should pray for them and not eat the food.
What you should do is know. Know that you, whether it's their food, I don't know where all the food's going to come from. Okay,
it's supposed to be our food, but it's our food when I buy it, and it's their food when they buy it.
But what I'm saying is that in your heart,
uh-huh.
There's something that's got to be dealt with, because what I'm hearing really mm-hmm. isn't about food. Food is just a pawn in this power game.
Ah, I believe that.
Okay, it's really not about food. It's
okay.
About control.
All right.
It's about power.
All right.
It's about all these other things, and once we really key into that,
yeah,
we can release the food. I don't have to starve. I don't have to have my basic sustenance caught up in some drama about all this other stuff.
Okay.
So when I know that, then I'm praying that God is my source. I know my belly will be full.
All right.
However it's going to get full.
All right.
Maybe at the house, maybe not at the house. But
all right.
This ain't about food.
All right. All right.
Still need some prayer, though. But it's not about food. Okay.
Thank you. I got to ring off.
Okay. Let's see, Rev D. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, I just want to take a breath right now.
And what just happened here is so instructive. And I hope that everybody listening is hearing what I'm saying. Okay. If I go back to the analogy that I was just making about the slaves, okay, we know at least some of them were unwilling to have their basic humanity, their basic human needs caught up in the power struggles of old massa or society or anything else. But I don't know what y'all gonna do, but we're gonna jump this broom. Okay? I don't know. You say there's not enough, and you're not going to feed me, and you're not going to give me this, and I'm not going to have that. We'll take care of our own selves. We'll pull our own stuff together. Okay, you're not going to give me any health care or medication or whatnot. Well, you know what? From generation to generation to generation, they taught me how to brew this tea. Okay? So we're going to go on and take care of ourselves anyway. if we don't have that mentality of the abundance that's transcendent of all the drama that goes on, then what we have is contingent upon what other people are going to give us. We're contingent upon other people's consciousness. I said, no, God is my source. God is my source. You can try to oppress me. You can try to keep the food away. You can try to keep this thing away, that thing. You can try to keep everything away. But you can't stop God from blessing me. You can't. So this consciousness of abundance that I'm talking about is where we see God as our source, not the people, places, and things that God uses as resources. That's just a resource. If it doesn't come that way, it'll come another way. So that's where we have to stand, and it's mine. It's mine. My babies are going to eat. Now, it'd be nice if their daddy fed them. But, hey, daddy isn't going to put some bread on the table. The bread is going to get there. This technique that I was saying that really helps us to see the abundance and get in the flow is this little technique that we're using at Interlight, and some of you on this call are a part of it. See, thank, share. It's just that simple. See, thank, share. It's almost as though every day is a big Easter egg hunt. That there are blessings that are all around us all the time. But we're just not on, we're not on the lookout. We're not noticing. We're not noticing. And when we walk around really seeing all the ways in which we've been blessed and give thanks for it and then share it, oh my God. There's no end. None. Statistically speaking, poor people give more than rich people. They don't give as much in absolute dollars, but what they give is a larger percentage of their disposable income. Catch that. So the one that already has 6 mouths to feed, might be more likely to take in a seventh. With that understanding that, well, I don't know how, but God will provide, and I'm not leaving anybody out. There's a faith that can come. And I find that the more we get stuck on thinking we know how it's going to come or feeling like we have to be the avenue through which it comes, the more we miss God's blessings. So if you get into gratitude and there's any part of you that's willing to get into that practice or do that kind of practice, you can do it on your own or you can join a group of us that's doing it, and it makes such a difference in your life. Such a difference. Every day, do some kind of gratitude journal. Even if you don't write it down, it's good to write it down, though. In the morning, before your feet hit the floor, just start thanking God for being alive, for waking you up, for being another day to live. Just at the end of the day, jot down 3, 4, 5 things that happened that you're just grateful for, even if you don't like what happened. Just grateful. And that attitude of gratitude becomes your decoder, like your x-ray vision. It's your super x-ray glasses that will help you to see the abundance that's all around. Some gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And if there's any part of you that's brave enough to start saying thank you before you've even seen it manifested, before you've even seen it, giving thanks for the mate before you've even met them, giving thanks for the right residence before you even are sure you have to move or know you're going to move, giving thanks for the right job, giving thanks for the right everything. Wow. Wow, I'm telling you, qualitatively speaking, what comes your way is so fine. And it takes it out of like the human time frames, and it just seems like everything happens faster. Faster and better than anything that you would have possibly predicted or could have made happen on your own. Are there any more callers?
There are people listening on the phone, but nobody's pressed one. So if you're listening and you have a question or comment, press one on your keypad now, or we will just see you next week. I'm checking the chat room and the Facebook pages. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346 is the number. Okay. Well, Gladys is back. She had to go abruptly, but she's back. So, Gladys, we're getting ready to release the show. So I'm going to bring you back to so you could feel complete. You, Gladys, you there?
Yes, honey, I'm here.
Okay.
So I just caught the tail end of what you were saying, and I wanted to make sure I understood it.
Okay.
Be thankful for what I get before I get it.
Oh, yes.
And then that'll manifest it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Claim it. And the gratitude is to God. Start feeling like there's somebody or something looking out for you. That you're not just in this alone. That you're not just in it alone. Everything's already out here. We don't have there's not a supply problem. It's just a distribution problem.
And somebody and wins the lottery.
That attitude gets you in the flow. Makes you start to become a magnet for it. See, the good you seek is seeking you. The good you seek is seeking you. So let's say it's a relationship, okay? I'm just doing a hypothetical now, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's say I'm a good black man, all right? And I'm looking for a good black woman, mm-hmm. Okay? Now, if I keep running across these women who are telling me how they ain't no good black men. They just like no good black men anywhere. I'm standing right in front of you. and you can't even see me because you've got it like in your head that there aren't any. And that story that we have, that it's not there, I don't have it, makes us blind to the stuff that's all around us or that's trying to make its way to us. But most importantly, is that the shift has to be in how we think about ourselves. Mm. See, it's not just, okay, I'm broke, I'm poor, and I'm just going to keep praying for this stuff, and this good is going to come to poor, broke me.
Okay.
It's that I know I'm enough. I'm a child of God, and I'm enough. And I deserve the goodness just because I'm a child of God. And God loves me. See, when we get into that kind of attitude, that becomes a prayer. That becomes what Jesus is talking about, speaking the word. It's because you're standing in a sense of your relationship as a child of God. And when you start really feeling that, that's abundant. Then you start worrying. You start getting into the Martin Luther King, I ain't fearing no man. something starts to happen to you inside that's qualitatively different. But it's you. It's not just stuff's going to come to you. It's you shifting you. You getting rid of all the reasons you have in your head about why not you.
Well, what if they've been there a really long time?
Well, that's probably the case, though.
Say that again?
I said that's probably the case. We believe what we believe because we've believed it a long time. Or we've been in a circumstance for a long time. But that doesn't mean it has to stay that way. See, it's that way because it keeps repeating itself. You know, the thoughts you have today didn't come from yesterday. They didn't follow you from yesterday. The thoughts we have today, it's because we recreated. We thought today again what we thought yesterday. The body you have today is not the body you had 2 weeks ago. Your body is constantly regenerating itself, which is why healing is possible, which is why change is possible. Because when it looks like things are stuck, like you just keep getting the same old thing, same old thing, stuck isn't a lack of motion. Stuck is repetitive motion. Mm-hmm. Stuck is not nothing's happening, but the same thing keeps happening. But there's always something happening. But we get to change that. Not this old stuff that's here and it just won't leave. We're reproducing it. We're reduplicating it every day. Think about it for a moment. Like I said, people always see things better in the negative. Have you ever seen somebody, maybe it was yourself, who couldn't forgive somebody for something?
Yes.
Or was carrying a grudge?
Yes, I've seen someone like that, yes.
Okay, and they had the grudge 5 years ago, 3 years ago, a year ago. And even when you hear them tell you the same story again about what happened, mm-hmm. they tell it like it's brand new. Mm-hmm. They tell it like nobody's ever heard it, and like it just happened yesterday. And can't you feel in that moment, you're just recreating it again? Yeah, it happened back then, but every time you tell this story, you're recreating this again.
Got it.
I mean, have you ever seen that?
Yes.
And then you just want to tell them,
turn the dial. Like you want to knock the needle on the record. Like quit telling the same old story like this. Because if you keep saying the same thing and staying this stuck, you know, it's just going to keep happening. Somewhere we know that. When it's something negative, we can see that. Okay. Well, it's the same thing on the positive. It's just the reverse. That when we give thanks, when we share, when we're telling new stories of possibility and seeing new things, we're creating that. And we're creating that energy.
Okay, so is it possible, well, I guess all things are possible, but is it possible for one to think that one's going to win the lottery or get $500,000 or something and get it?
Yes, it's possible, but you know what happens when that happens? They're broke again.
Well, no, I'm not going to, you know,
No, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. If you could just go online and just like Google it. I am not lying.
I believe you.
That people who suddenly get large windfalls of money lose it. They can't hang on to it because they haven't changed inside.
I don't know
if you paid attention to this or not, but one of my friends is a Yala Van Zandt, and when she started making her comeback on Oprah, and she was pushing her latest book from Pieces, and she was talking about how she lost everything over this very thing.
I remember.
Over this very thing. But now, she sees herself differently. Now she sees herself differently. See, as long as I don't think I'm abundant, and I'm just trying to bring in abundance, whatever that is, the lottery, a good mate, a good job, but I don't believe that is who I am, then I can't hold on to it. I feel like a fraud. That's why this work is important that I'm saying that you do on the inside. And at the beginning of the show, I said the first place that the manifestation takes place is in you. When you start claiming there's enough, something shifts in you because we go from there's not enough, I don't have enough to I am not enough. We equate who we are with what we have. And we got to break that in our minds.
So just think I am enough and I have enough?
Claim it. Say it. I mean, literally. You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, I have all I need. I am enough. God is taking care of me. Thank you, God.
And God is sending me $500,000.
I didn't say God is sending you $500,000.
That's what I need to say in order to manifest what I need to do what I need to do.
What I am saying is that whatever needs to be handled, it will get handled. If it's $500,000 thing that needs to be handled, then it'll be handled at that. But my point is that it gets handled. And the ways in which it gets handled may not necessarily be how we think. But it gets whatever the need is, it gets handled.
All right.
It gets handled. If there's no big or small, so to speak, in the mind of God.
It's us. I really want you to really. I'm hope I'm being clear. It's us. Okay. If $500,000 ain't no thing to me, because I know that, of course, it's coming because whatever. This is, we're in the middle of this project, and that's what's needed. And, you know, of course, God's going to provide for this and whatnot. Yeah, then it might come. You know, but if I'm still in a, I'm not sure about me, or I think I need this money because it's going to save me.
Well, yeah.
That's where we got to do the work on us that I'm taken care of. That I am enough, that no matter what is going on out there in the world, I'm going to be okay. I'm fine. And whatever these needs are, I put them in God's hands. Trusting, believing, having faith. Okay.
Thank you, Gladys.
Thank you.
And you. Yes, and your question is helping other listeners.
Oh yeah!
So she's definitely opening the door of abundance for others. Lulu said, "This is helping me so much tonight. Thank you. I'm changed already."
Mm-hmm. Good.
There's no room for spiritual bypass. You
no.
got to do the work. You got to do the work.
And, you have to do the work. Okay, and that's why I'm speaking to everybody this way. You can use the laws of attraction to bring into your field, into your awareness, into your physical reality, almost anything. If you just focus on it enough and all the rest of that kind of stuff. But it may not be what you really need. It may not be a blessing. And it may not stay. Okay? What I'm trying to teach you to do is to live from the yes. And when you live from the yes, you're not trying to make things happen to overcompensate for the smallness that you feel. You won't be trying to manifest this thing or that thing to prove something to somebody or to make you feel good about yourself. If things are tainted with all of that, then it's going to sprout quickly, but it's going to end quickly. I'm going to leave you with this. It's called the parable of the sower and the seed. And Jesus said that this particular parable was so important, that it was so important that if you didn't get this, you weren't going to understand anything that he said ever. It was so important that it was the only parable that he actually interpreted for people so that they didn't miss it. Normally, his parables were in true Eastern and Middle Eastern tradition, almost like the Buddhist cone, like what is the sound of one hand clapping? You know, he would just pose these things to you, and then you had to figure it out. But that's part of where your enlightenment came from, is you struggling with it. So in this parable of the sower and the seed, he talks about how the seed fell on four different kinds of soil. This is not a gardening lesson. Okay, the parables are always true in a literal sense, but they're metaphors about consciousness and where our mind is like the soil and the seed are like ideas. These four kinds of soil. He said, some seed fell along the wayside. He says, and the birds came along and picked it up. Okay. That's like a closed consciousness. That would be similar to in one ear and out the other. Nothing got planted. In order for something to plant, you have to move the earth. You have to dig in a little bit. You have to break through the crust, the hard surface, and make it malleable a little bit. You have to, it's where we use the term cultivate. You've got to cultivate the soil. And most of us don't cultivate our minds. So we hear truths, we hear divine ideas or whatnot, and there's no place for it to root in us because we haven't made space. We haven't made space for it. Okay, so that's the first kind. Some seed fell upon the wayside, the closed consciousness. Then it said, some seed fell upon the rocky places. It sprouted quickly, but quickly shriveled with the heat. Okay. Now, what was going on here is that the terrain in the area where Jesus lived was very hilly. And a lot of times the gardens were made on these terraced kind of hillsides. You can remove some of the rocks, like you would do in cultivating the soil, but sometimes the rocks have to stay because they actually prevent the topsoil from washing away if the rains become too intense. So the soil that's covering right now is shallow. It's shallow. It says the seed sprouts quickly, but then it shrivels. Because what happens is that the seed comes quickly, but then the roots touch the rock as it's growing down. They don't have any place to go. There's no more soil. They're hitting rock. And when the rocks heat up with the sun, it scorches the root and it shrivels up. Sometimes I say this is the metaphysical trap. People get just enough of these teachings. They sprout up really quickly, and then when the heat is on, when the heat of life is on, and heats up all their rocks that are underneath there that they didn't clear out, boom. Shrivels up and it's gone. They can't hold on to it. Manifest quickly, gone quickly. Okay. So the first two types of soil or consciousness, one is closed, one is shallow. The third kind of consciousness is that in some seed fell amongst the thorns and the thistles. They grew, but were eventually choked. This is that consciousness of clutter, confusion, negativity. The seed's growing, but the garden isn't being tended to. The seeds are just growing amongst the weeds. And eventually the weeds choke out the plant. Okay, think about this in terms of your own life. How many of us do this? Where we're listening to this stuff, we're doing these practices, but we're still doing all the other stuff too. We haven't let the other stuff go. So I'm praying and I got worry. I'm saying my affirmations, but then I'm, you know, proclaiming how bad things are. And eventually it chokes it up. You got the closed, the shallow, it's getting choked because it's not clear. There's a lot of stuff it's growing amongst. And then the last kind it says is in fact the fertile soil. It says in the seed that fell in the fertile soil really grew. It really multiplied and it multiplied well. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up now is that I have found that this is a very good formula for me to use, and somewhat of a litmus test, that I can look at my consciousness and look at the ideas and look at the things that I'm harboring, and particularly if it seems like they're not manifesting enough, or I'm getting things that seem to be really contradictory, whatever that is that's going on, I get to ask myself, instead of blaming God and what God is doing, I'm not going to blame the seeds. The seeds are fine. They'll do as much as they can in whatever kind of environment they're put in. But how fertile is the soil? How fertile am I for whatever this is, spiritual practice or whatnot that I'm doing? Is my mind closed? Am I just being shallow with this stuff and then getting all off the moment that it starts getting a little hard? Am I just la 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 moving along and, you know, but not doing my weeding, not making sure that there's space and that there's adequate room? You know, what am I doing? Or am I really fertile soil? Is that what I am? You know, and think about this. When it comes to the abundance, it's more about you. It's about us. It's about knowing that's who we are and then manifesting from that place, as opposed to it isn't what I am, but I'm going to try to make it happen anyway. And I don't know what it is about abundance that makes us think that we can do that kind of spiritual malpractice. We don't believe that about other things. If I know I'm shut down, if I know that I am not feeling loving, I'm not anticipating being in some nice, loving relationship when I know that I'm not being loving. When I know I'm being fearful and timid and worried, I'm not anticipating courage to just come flying through the door without me being it. Now, if this is about creativity, I'm not expecting that I can just continue to do nothing, but somehow all of these creative works are just going to fly on my canvas, and I ain't picked up a brush. We know that's not how it works. With everything else, we know that somehow to see it, I have to be it. And yet, for whatever reason, when it comes to abundance, we don't get that. Somehow or another, I think that I don't have to be it, but I can still keep manifesting it. When we don't believe that about anything else. If you're willing to be it, sky's the limit on your capacity to be able to really manifest what you want in a positive way. If you don't feel like you're abundant, it doesn't mean you won't be manifesting. You'll just be manifesting whatever you think you are. And if that's not enough, then that's what the manifestation will be. Change your thinking and change your life. Thank everybody for tuning in. And I want to encourage you to also go to the archive and take a look at this. Just a couple of announcements before we close out. If there's anybody who is interested in participating in our See, Think, Share practice that I mentioned, just shoot me an email at revd@innerlightministries.com, and I'll be sure to hook you up with that. And also to remind everybody that we have a virtual class that's going to be starting. It's called Your Spiritual Toolkit. It'll be for 5 Thursdays, beginning on April the 23rd, 2015. And for 5 Thursdays after that, it will be from 9 to 10:30 a.m. that specific time. So that's noon to 1:30 Eastern time. And once again, anybody who's interested in that, send me an email, revd@innerlightministries.com, and I'll have my assistant get right to you and make sure that you can get signed up for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also opportunities if you contact me to be able to get some one-on-one mentoring or counseling, and my assistant Leah can also assist you with that too.
Indeed. And they can also check you out on Sundays by going to your website, innerlightministries.com, and you can catch your archive. So Mariana was in here earlier, and she said she enjoyed your lesson sermon on Sunday. She said,
yeah, all right. Yeah, we were doing the live streaming there.
Mm-hmm. Rev D, thank you very much. For all you do, you've been traveling. Now you've helped us travel deep into our consciousness. You've called us out. You said there's no room for spiritual mild practice and no spiritual bypass.
Yes. And just remind everybody that next week the show will start going to 60 minutes for a while.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Rev D. We love you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Yes, indeed. Yes. We're grateful. We're thankful for all that Rev D is doing, that she does, that she's to do. And we thank you, listeners, for tuning in, for contributing your consciousness to this conversation. And Gladys, thank you for calling in and sharing your story, because your story helps other people as well. All the shows are archived. The shows on lifeconversationsradio.com. The shows are archived. You can go to lifeconversationsradio.com. You can go to iTunes. When you get to iTunes, type Life Conversations. You can go back as far as 2008 and you'll start from there. If you're bored. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. Make sure you tune in Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Play Experience with Ambassador Safira. Reminding you to tune in, to tap in, to get joyful, and practice the principle. If it's to be, it's up to you. You gotta be the change you want to see. Turn down the volume of external noise and be the change. This is Gina Renee. You can find her on Facebook, Gina Renee. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Lulu, Mariana, and all the silent listeners for tuning in, for being part of this conversation. We out of here. May you know abundance in a whole new way. Peace and blessings.
Religions, misunderstandings, many different people with the same passions, just disconnected from our cause and our actions. It's time we recognize the law of attraction and see we receiving exactly what we asking. Am I focused on lack and limitations, fear and separation, and I'm open to a new conversation. I'm talking about the love vibration, everybody unification. A change is moving across the nation, yeah, we choose courage and real communication. It's cause we know there's no time for wasting. The state of this world is our creation. Let's take a good look around this place. Yo, turn off your TV now, it's time to face this reality. Yo, this is the real show. The human race, we've been so disgraceful. We say we want peace, yet we're so wasteful. Killing all the life on earth to take up space for what? Yeah, we all want the same thing, but more stuff, happiness that won't bring. Yeah, we all know that we get what we give. Time's up now, how we gonna live? If you don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe, say I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change, it's all in me. One world in harmony, one world, one family. I ain't waiting on nobody, cause I'ma be the change, it's all.
The world needs us to wake up and to be real. Are you down? Are you ready? Are you awake? Are you alive? In this very hour, you'll listen and take the vow that will set you free. I know what I'm talking about.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversation.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.